Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Web Midnight Black Mass, a production brought to you by GeorgeWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you discussions and interviews with figures from wrestling, entertainment, and general pop culture. And now, the GWH
Network presents
Midnight Black Mass.
Please, mister, this is insane.
Boy, the next word that comes out of your mouth, better be some brilliant fucking Mark Twain shit, because it's definitely getting chiseled on your tombstone.
Forgive her, for she knows not what she does. Across upon her bedroom wall, from grace she will fall. An image burning in her mind, and between her thighs.
Oh,
She'd like to know.
I've ruined every bit of my toughness credibility now, so I hope that the dastardly foils to my opponents did not hear that. But welcome to the show. I've got a great edition of the program. We got the Muji Movie Minute coming up with a look at John Carpenter's 1987 hit, The Prince of Darkness. We'll be back with TV Casualty, continuing look at Batman the Animated Series, as the episode entitled Prophecy of Doom tonight, where the villain is the soothsayer Nostramos, and a whole lot more. We got some tunes for you. We'll be off next week because of NWA Chattanooga. Be back the following week for our final broadcast here on the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network before we're moving on over to PoddyHumor.com. That's PoddyHumor.com. Already there is several editions of mine and of Muji Movie Minute fame, the great Muji. Our podcast specifically devoted to comics called Get Your Pulls. But on to the wrestling news. Tomorrow night, where can you see the Rev? I want to spend some money. I want to see the Rejects in action. I want to see them bring that specific brand of carnage that only that they could bring to my town. Where do I go? You go to Rossville, Georgia, Empire Pro Wrestling. That's 22 Austin Avenue in Rossville, Georgia. You can go to Facebook.com/Empire Wrestling for more details. I'll be there with the Devil's Rejects, the likes of the Empire Heavyweight Champion Rufus Black, the Southeastern Strangler, Andrew Alexander, and the Strong Style Psycho Tank, Deadly Sin 7, and a whole lot more. You want to be there. And then NWA Chattanooga, as I have previously mentioned, will be coming to Sail Creek Middle High School on Patterson Road in Sail Creek, Tennessee, June 22nd. Go to NWAChattanooga.com for more details. Have a big 8-team tag team championship tournament. Also, my man, Southeastern Strangler Andrew Alexander, defends his NWA Southeastern Heavyweight Championship against the future legend Kyle Matthews in a much-anticipated bout. And then, of course, next, the following weekend, June 23rd, it will happen that an NWA Anarchy television taping will be taking place that night. But the Rev ain't going to be there. The Rev already knows what's going down, that hostile environment, and I don't know if I'm at liberty to say it yet, but I'm not gonna, but just know that it is going down, and I'll be there, but next Saturday night, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, at Aaron's Amphitheater for Iron Maiden and Alice Cooper, a concert I had waited my entire motherfucking life to see, so I hope you can understand that my level of enthusiasm for it is just a little bit high, and if you don't like it, you can get fucked. On to the music news. Got to see Foghat last night in Chattanooga, Tennessee, right here in the hometown of the Rev. I went down to the Riverbend Festival, which a lot of mainstream acts permeate that, and they can all go die for all I care. But Foghat, now, that's a band. And it wasn't much of a band left. We had only one original member, of course, that's drummer Roger Earl of the original lineup, and they also had the classic lineup bassist of the band, Craig McGregor, and then the band was rounded out by former Wild Cherry and Molly Hatchet guitarist Brian Bassett and former Ted Nugent band Humble Pie and Gary Moore vocalist Brian Bassett, and man, I mean, you know, Foghat lost the original vocalist and guitar player just in the last couple of years. Dave Perivetti and Rod Price, they both passed away before their time. So, bringing this what's left of Foghat with these guys out on the road, and man, they sounded great, played all the hits, got the crowd going, and it was a great primer for this Iron Maiden and Alice Cooper concert coming up on Saturday. So, yeah, just wanted to mention that I'd partaken in that, and it was a hell of a time. Creator, the German thrash metal icons who brought you such hits as Enemy of God, they actually have placed on the Billboard charts this night. The signs of the apocalypse are near, folks. Creator, German thrash metal kingpins have ranked on the Billboard Top 200. Their new album, Phantom Antichrist, debuted at 130 on the Billboard Popular Albums. That's That's just fucking awesome. I don't know what else to say about that, but I thought it was cool. Pretty slow music news week other than that. But if you're down in the South area, all these tours are going around. So no matter where you're listening to the program, just get on the internet, look up the bands, and check out where they're coming to your town. But I go see most of my concerts in Atlanta. That's my premier concert-going locale. And so I have prepared for you a nice, tidy little Atlanta concert calendar. And since we're wrapping it up here on the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network, I felt it only appropriate. Coming up on June the 18th at the Masquerade, Doom Miller's The Sword will be in action. On June 23rd, as I mentioned, at Aaron's Amphitheater, you're going to see the almighty legendary Iron Maiden and Alice Cooper. On July 1st, back at the Masquerade, Death to All comes to heaven. And what that is a tribute to the late, great Chuck Schuldiner, and Death will feature all of the prominent musicians that played in Death during the course of their existence. And really, if you're a fan of the classic death metal and the true founders of that sound, then you need to be getting down there to check that out on July 1st. Ian Astbury and Legendary Cult are going to make their way to the Tabernacle on July 17th. July 24th, back at Aaron's Amphitheater. It's the show. You wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest band in the world, Kiss, and Motley Crue, going to be tearing up the stage on July 24th in the ATL. Then coming on up at August 1st, you're back to the Masquerade. You want to get to the club setting? You want more death metal? They've got it. The motherfucking baddest of the bad, Cannibal Corpse and Goat Whore, are going to be live at the Masquerade on August the 1st. Then moving on over to the Tabernacle, a little bit bigger venue, a little bit bigger tour, but some titans nonetheless. Lamb of God and Death Clock for a co-headlining tour supported by French Beasts, Gojira. You definitely want to check that out. September 21st, death metal pioneers, the band that started it all, Morbid Angel, with legendary frontman David Vincent, now back in the band after a couple of years, on September 21st, live at the Masquerade in Atlanta, Georgia. This concert calendar has been brought to you by the Midnight Black Mass. We got some more tunes coming up for you. Then we got the Muji Movie Minute. Opening up the show, we heard Christian Woman off of Typo Negative and their 1993 classic album, Bloody Kisses. There's an epic tune about a woman's love for Christ. And we really mean love for Christ. And coming up now, we've got the almighty and legendary Merciful Fate with a classic track off of the Melissa album. This is called Come Come Into My Coven and Become Lucifer's Child. Thank you. And we're back here on the Midnight Black Mass. You just heard Merciful Fate with Into the Coven off of the classic album Melissa. As always, we claim no ownership to the music we play here on this program. It is for educational purposes only. We strongly encourage you to go add these to your collection and purchase them at the official website, whether it be digitally, on album, or what have you, because put them in your collection as they came from my collection. Right now it's time for the Moody Movie Minute tonight. Tonight we have a special look at the part two of John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy, as he calls it, the part one being the thing. A movie called Prince of Darkness, taking a trip back to 1987, perming our hair, making sure our mullets are combed so we fit right in. They don't know we're these mysterious time travelers jumping in from another dimension. Moji, what do you think about Prince of Darkness?
Yeah, Prince of Darkness is pretty cool. You could definitely tell it was a John Carpenter film. The way that he set the movie, the score, everything about it was definitely a John Carpenter movie, and also a John Carpenter 80s movie. It had a lot of kind of those crazy sound effects that he had in a lot of them, a lot of organ sounds going through it. Thought it was a cool movie. In case you haven't seen it, the basic premise is that all these people that are going to college at this place kind of get roped in by one of their teachers for a little weekend studying. They've, in this old church, they've uncovered that they have this big barrel of what can only be described as juice or ooze, whatever you want to call it. And they're trying to figure out what it is. They've also got this, they've got it, and they've also got this manuscript that they're trying to translate from Latin that's been given to the church by a priest as he was dying, and they're trying to unlock the secret. So they need to bring in all these, they have to bring in somebody to translate it, they have to bring in all these physicists to try to use the code to figure out what it means, and a lot of malarkey going on at once. It was really an excuse to get seven or eight people in a place so that a bunch of them can be killed. But it's a pretty cool movie. Basically, the whole movie, you find out that the ooze is actually some Satan juice. It sprays into people's mouths, and when it does, it basically turns them into kind of walking zombies that, I guess, do the will of Satan. They walk around trying to kill people, doing stuff like that. And, yeah, and then the kids from the school are just trying to stop the zombies, and that's mostly the plot.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed Prince of Darkness. I love the look and feel of the John Carpenter movies, and especially the ones he made in the 70s and 80s, real all share a common theme in that respect. And, of course, John Carpenter favorites like Victor Wong and Donald Pleasance appeared. You have the cross meeting of the horror film soothsayers of... It was an enjoyable film. The Satan juice was an interesting context. It wasn't the fucking Ninja Turtles, I tell you that. It wasn't friendly. It wasn't going to turn them into cuddly mutants that had ninja powers. It was simply going to kill them and make them minions of Satan first, which, you know, and that's in case anybody's listening, that's not a bad thing, obviously. But what I'm saying is, in this movie, it was a bad thing because you got sprayed in the face with green ooze and your face came off.
Yeah, and it was pretty funny. It was seemed like a big infomercial against cacking. That's basically what would happen. They would cack at them, the Satan juice, like what somebody got turned and turned the other people into devil's minions. It was good. I liked it. There was also some really, really funny stuff in it. One of the things is that all the homeless that live around this church are the first ones that start turning into kind of Satan zombies. And they're led by Alice Cooper, who kills a guy. He takes a bike apart, and apparently he's just a really good mechanic and can't find mechanics work. I made up a backup story in my head that he was once a great mechanic but then got hooked on pills and lost his job because he very quickly dismantles a bike and uses it to stab someone all the way through the chest. So he had some skills in that. But that was a good part in the movie. There's also this black gentleman who, once he gets the Satan juice, he appears to fight it somehow because instead of just going around trying to kill people, he kills himself, then immediately comes back to life as kind of a zombie and he makes some of the best Bill Cosby faces. As he's walking around as a zombie, he looks like he's trying to force a turd out the whole movie. So that's pretty good. It's got a lot of good, funny stuff like that in it, but it also does have a lot of creepy stuff in it. They set the mood really well with the music. They have people keep looking out the window, and you see like a half sun and half moon at the same time, and that doesn't really mean anything. They don't explain it, but it's creepy because of the way they set it in the movie. But it was fun seeing Donald Pleasance as the preacher, basically playing the same exact character. He's actually Father Loomis as a tribute to him and Dr. Loomis in Halloween. You see him as the preacher, and he's basically the same dude. He's just giving Bible verses. Instead of talking about killing Michael Myers, he's talking about, you know, God helping them instead of guns helping them, basically. It's basically what he does in this one.
I mean, you got fucking Donald Pleasance spouting Bible verses. I mean, I'm sold, you know. That sounded ominous enough for me. Like, oh, in the seventh seal, we'll be broken. And soon the gate will open, and forth shall come the beast. Yeah, it was fucking cool. I never loved it. What kind of rating did you give it, Booch?
Yeah, I said 73% well done. It's cool. It's not great, but it's good. It's it definitely is. For a John Carpenter movie, it's better than average. He's had some stinkers, but it's one of his good ones.
Excellent. And then of course our time here on Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network is wrapping up. We are moving forward and upward and onward to poddyhumor.com. That's PODDYHUMOR.com. Here in just the next few weeks. We've been tossing around a couple of movies to review for the next show, but I think since we're going to be starting anew, and we've already reviewed The Thing, which was part one in this, and now Prince of Darkness, which is part two, I think we probably owe it to ourselves to, not next week, but when we come back for the final edition here, review In the Mouth of Madness, which was the third pick, and actually a very favorite movie of mine from the 90s. That's like one of my top picks from 90s horror films, because there weren't a lot of great ones in those decades, and I thought that was definitely one of the standouts, but leave it to John Carpenter to do that. And then I think our first review on PottyHumor.com, we can go for Piranha 3DD.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I think that'll be good. But Muji, any final thoughts?
That's it. See ya.
All right, fans, that was the Muji Movie Minute here on the Midnight Black Mass. We got a double shot of Iron Maiden coming up for you, and then we're going to end up the program with TV Casualty this week on another edition of the program. We thank you for joining the show, as always, as we talked about our move in detail. So right now, we're going to get back in the time machine. We're going to two different albums. I have one just from a few years ago, actually, back in the early 2000s off of Brave New World. This song is called The Wicker Man.
Yeah. begins to change, and sometimes feel a little strange, a little anxious when it's dark. Fear of the dark. Fear of the dark. I have a constant fear that something's always near. Fear of the dark. Fear of the dark. I have a phobia that someone's always there.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire.
Formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
And we're back here on the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network with another edition of the Midnight Black Mass coming to a close. And in doing so, we bring you our extended look at the DC Animated Universe. Welcome to another edition of TV Casualty. And folks, we are moving right along, almost done with Season 1 of Batman the Animated Series. The episode tonight is entitled Prophecy of Doom, introducing the one and only Batman animated series appearance of the villain Nostramos. It's originally aired on October the 6th of 1992 on the Fox Television Network. The story was written by Dennis Marks, the teleplay by Sean Catherine Derrick. The episode was directed by Frank Power. And in this episode, Batman investigates a bizarre cult calling themselves the Brotherhood, led and founded by the mystic soothsayer and fortune teller Nostramos. And after hearing about a number of stories from his colleagues about the ability to predict the future, Batman finds out that Nostramos is actually a con artist who was rigging near-fatal accidents to gain the confidence of Gotham's upper-class citizens. Can Batman expose him before it's too late? Well, since it was his only appearance in the series, I think you figured out how that one ended. Still a very interesting episode, not a very popular episode amongst the Batman animated series fans in the community, but I enjoyed it, and I thought, you know, the implications of a suicide cult, which they kind of implied but never out and out said that that's what the ultimate grim fate Nostramos was leading his followers to. But I think they did allude to that a couple of times, and Batman really stopped it before it got out of hand. Nostramos, very similar in architecture to Ra's al Ghul. Interesting that they later introduced Mr. al Ghul to the television program, and the Nostramos character was drawn nearly identical to him. So I don't know if that was intentional or if old Paul Dini just didn't take into account that maybe they might be bringing a very important figure in Batman history to the show. But still, as I say, it was an enjoyable episode. Nice 30-minute contained story, not a big multi-parter or anything, but certainly did the job. But speaking of multi-parters, next week, do we have one for you. My favorite villain of the Batman animated series, at least the ones that were introduced in that capacity, and that's Clayface, for his second appearance in the universe. The sequel is a two-parter called Feet of Clay, and we'll be looking at part one next time here on TV Casualty. We'll go ahead and do a double duty bonus there for you, since it will be our final broadcast on the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network. So there you go. We're going to have a review of In the Mouth of Madness on the Muji Movie Minute. We're going to have a two-part TV Casualty looking at Feet of Clay and the return of Clayface, and a whole lot more. We'll try and line up one final special guest before we say goodbye to GWH. It's been a hell of a ride, fans, and another great edition. I'm going to have a little bit of fun for the evening, so I hope you all do the same. Hope the Friday night treats you right, and stay out of trouble, or the Reverend's going to come looking for you. Keep one foot in the gutter and one fist in the gold, fans. This is the Reverend, and I'm out.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.